the president of hockey operations, Brian Burke. It's funny, we were talking just before you came down here, and we were wondering if it's kind of a relief in a lot of ways knowing that you don't have to do this stuff as much anymore. Much less media, as you said, won't be months until we hear from you again.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's probably good news for a lot of people who are listening, too, saying, good, get this guy off the air. So, no, he's going to be the general manager of this team. He's got to be the front man. He's got to be the voice. He's got to explain what we're doing. Doesn't mean I'm going anywhere because I'm not. But, it's no different than if you look at this past season, our coach was the voice of the team day to day. I didn't do interviews every day. Only after a trade maybe or sent a player down or did something big or there was a suspension where I felt you guys needed access, then otherwise it was the coach that talked.
Take us through the process of coming to the decision you've made in the last 24 hours or so.
Well, to me, this goes back to when I came here. You know, my job was, what ownership asked me to do was analyze where we were and if we needed to make changes going forward. Obviously, I made the decision that we had to make a change in the front office. And since then, been basically doing the GM job and the assistant GM job. I have some wonderful people here that help. I don't want to make it sound like I did it all alone. But to me, start asking questions right then. I already had a vision of the young guys in the business that I felt were bright and motivated and could make the next step. Because being Robin's a lot easier than being Batman. You can be a great number two guy, but Batman is the guy that has to fight the bad guys. And so to me, start looking around, asking people, and talk to, you know, I've been doing this a long time. My first GM job was 1992. Mm-hmm. And so you go to a GM and say, okay, of the young guys, who do you like? His name was on every list. And most of them said it was a first name. This is a guy, if I had a chance to hire a young GM, that's who I'd hire. Talk to Bill Daly at the league, nothing but praise for him with their interaction with them when the league owned the team. And so kept coming back to Brad Treliving. I knew Brad. He came to training camp for me as a player when I was in Vancouver as an assistant GM. I know how hard he worked as a player. I know how hard he worked in business. And so it just kept coming back to him. So when we had the opportunity to interview him, Phoenix said, yes, you can interview him right away. We thought they'd make us wait till after the draft. And we had the opportunity to interview him. We got it done. They gave us a tight window, and we got it done.
So basically, did he kind of force your hand in that respect? Say, hey, we got to hire this guy?
Well, if you keep going to a fortune teller and you keep getting the same fortune that, you know, it's going to be this, at some point you say, well, why am I resisting this? Where I know and like and trust this guy anyway. Like, he started off at the head of the list, then you get all this third-party validation, and you're like, man, it's not just my view. It's not just Brian Burke's view on life that this is the guy. Everyone you talk to in hockey says he's got to be near the top of your list or at the top of your list. So that third-party validation, I think, is really important as you go to hire a coach or a GM. You know, this is the first time I've hired a GM, but I've had to hire coaches before, and you're putting just as much trust in a coach as you are in a manager, and it's the same process. You have guys you like, you talk to players who played for them, you talk to people who work with them, and you get third-party information and validation on what works.
So on the one side, if you had waited, you could have interviewed a number of different candidates and thrown out as wide a net as you possibly could have. And on this front, not only do you get the guy that you want, but now there's some time for him to prepare prior to the draft and free agency. How much did that opportunity kind of outweigh everything else?
Well, and I think people should understand this is not a typical business. You know, there's not... Like, if you want to hire someone to do the cement block in a building, there's 100 firms that do that in Calgary. And so you go through the process. You have to narrow it down and find out the most reputable builder that will do it. This is 30 teams, 30 jobs, 30 GM jobs. It's a tight industry, and so you have some sense of these people as you go. Like, I don't do it like everyone else does. I interview 365 days a year. Most GMs go to a junior game, they get there at 6 o'clock, the game's at 7. They go in the scouts room, they have a piece of pizza, they talk to the scouts. I go at 5:15. I meet with both coaches. They don't know it's a job interview, but I do. So I'm talking to the coach, saying, here's the guy, so you file it away, here's a guy who can move up. I only interviewed one coach in Anaheim, Randy Carlisle. I only interviewed one coach in Vancouver, it was Mark Crawford. So this is not, let's take a chance on Brad Treliving. I think this is a critical hire for this team. And I think it's important we get it right, but there's a lot more method to it than just saying, hey, that's my guy, we're not interviewing anyone else. A lot of this winnowing and differentiating guys has been going on for years.
With Brian Burke, the president of hockey operations, Pete.
So, Brian, along those lines, what is it that makes someone your guy?
Well, to me, you got to start with intellect. Like, this job's really hard. There's 29 selfish GMs that are trying to beat your team, and they're good. They're not very considerate, but they're good. So you got to start with intellect. You got to be a bright guy, and Brad is that. So that's number one. I think you have no chance of succeeding in this job unless you're smart, and he's smart. Then it goes to work ethic, no different than a player. And then it goes to training. What training has he put in? Who has he learned under? Who has he studied under? What mistakes have they made? What home runs have they made? They've made some wonderful decisions in Phoenix. So it's you get the whole body of work, and you say to yourself, this guy is the guy for us.
How great is it for you to have someone who not only is body of work at this level, but here's a guy who ran a league, for goodness sake, in pro hockey. He seems to have, you know, made every single step, which some people value, and I would guess you would be one of those people.
I do, and I think 6 years in the minors speaks to a lot, too. That's a guy that stuck with it. He wasn't doing it for the money. You don't play 6 years in the East Coast League for the money. Or the IHL or wherever else he played. You play because you think you might make it and you love the game. And when you retire, you don't have a fancy car. You don't have a big house. If you're lucky, you got 20 grand in the bank somewhere and maybe a couple RSPs, and that's it. You play because you love the game and you want your chance to make it. Then he went into working for teams. Then he went in running a league. So this guy has a real broad business background, real extensive resume on the business side, and I think that's valuable to anybody. But certainly in a business the size of ours, this is not a small business, the NHL. So hockey stuff, business background, work ethic, training, all point to this guy.
When you went in to this mandate, Brian, to hire someone, does being able to handle this job in a Canadian market, did that enter in at all
yes.
for you?
Yes. This is, but I think it's a, you know, I hear that, and I know exactly where you're going with the question, Pete, and it's a fair one, but to me, I've always looked on the ability to run a team in Canada as a blessing. Yes, you get second-guessed. Yes, you're stupid a lot. It's amazing how much more stupid you are in Canada than you are in the U.S. when you run a team. But you also are you're in a shrine to hockey. You know, you're not. I remember I was watching a Red Sox game with Theo Epstein one time, and Theo said, "Are you me in Toronto? Are you me?" And I said, "I'm 10 of you." I said, "Theo, if you and I walk down the street, maybe one person in 20 will recognize you. Toronto, it's every other person. Oh, there's the GM of the Leafs." So I said, there's no analog for it. Like Bill Belichick, you know, he as big as he is, as great as he is, he's not recognized like Dave Nonis is in Toronto. So I think it's a great blessing that hockey's that important and you get to run a team in Canada. I meant this when I came here. I think Calgary's a great city. I feel so fortunate to be working here, and that's how Brad feels. So now what comes with that is, do you need small ears and thick skin sometimes? Yes. The guys that do the best in Canada ignore the white noise. They ignore the background noise. And they don't focus on what the media say and the media write. Like, when I do get in a tiff with the media now, it's because someone sent it to me. Someone said, "Did you see what this guy wrote? He said you were an idiot." And I'm like, "Of course I didn't see it, but I'll go find it." And now you're in a fight with the guy, right? Yeah. You call him up and say, you know, "I'll tell you who the idiot is, you." So, but I think you need small ears, thick skin. But I think you're lucky if you get a chance to work for a Canadian team. I really do. I look at guys that labor in obscurity and people don't care about their team. They don't like their team. They don't love their team. I mean, this is stuff that people are passionate about to a point where it's, I mean, I drove by a guy last night driving home. Mm-hmm. He had, I counted 18 stickers on the car, flame stickers. A couple bumper stickers and little decals on the windows, and I tried to count them, but I was driving, so I couldn't, I think it was 18. And when I passed him, he had a Flames ball cap on. You know, I didn't see that in Anaheim. I never saw a car with 18 Ducks decals on it. So I think it's a blessing and a privilege to work in Canada, but you got to, I guess the downside that comes with it is you're stupid a lot, so you got to ignore that.
Just a few more with Brian Burke. It's funny, when you took over in September, you were very adamant in saying, "Look, I'm not here to be the GM. I'm the president of hockey operations. I'm not going to be the GM." And here we are in April. You're not the GM. You've hired your guy. And a lot of questions about the structure as to how much autonomy that Brad is going to have. So can you clarify that again as to how you see the structure working?
Well, first off, I think to people who are listening, this is not a new structure. It's relatively new in hockey. But they've had this in football and baseball and basketball. I really believe every team is going to have this structure down the road, probably in the next 5 to 10 years. You've already seen Toronto and Vancouver go to it. Just in a week, two teams went to the structure. And Buffalo was before. So I think it's the notion that you have a veteran guy who can help a younger guy, bring him along. Let him be the guy, but also guide him and avoid those big mistakes that young GMs tend to make. And so I think it's going to be the wave of the future. He is going to have autonomy, Brad is. But I think the way you head it off is if he comes to you and says, you know, I'm thinking of doing this trade, and you say, well, you know what, that really doesn't make a lot of sense, so let's talk about it again tomorrow. But then you never get to a veto, or you never get to where you have to say it's you or me. And this is a guy I trust and know and like and have known for years. And so I'm not worried about it working. It's collaboration. It's cooperation. It's no different than my decision-making process with Ken King. Ken is my boss. We avoid veto situations by talking about it early enough that we avoid it. There's mm-hmm. a way to do this right and a way to do it so you can win.
The AGM, is that his hire or yours or collaborative
his.
Again?
His. Okay. I'll interview candidates if he wants. I'll tell him what I think, but if he says it's Joe Schmo and I think it should be John Smith, it's going to be Joe Schmo.
What's your overwhelming feeling? Like, is this just a day of relief, a day of pride? Like, personally, what are your feelings on a day like today?
A lot of pride that I think we got the right guy, and I think we jumped the queue. I think if this process had gone on longer, a number of teams would have come after this guy. So I think a lot of pride and some relief, too, that it's been a while doing more than one job. And a job, frankly, that I wasn't brought here to do. So it's nice to say, okay, you can, you know, tonight you can start worrying about some of this stuff too. Not me going to put my feet up and watch hockey and, you know, yeah. call me if you need me, because I'm not built that way. I got to work. I love to work. And we were in here working out. Brad and I were in here working out this morning at 6 o'clock after stopping at Starbucks. So I love to work. I'm never going to change. But I like the fact that I can share some of the responsibility now.
Brian, appreciate you doing this. Thanks so much, and I guess we'll talk to you in a few months.
See you in a few months. Yeah. Have a nice summer.
There's Brian Burke, the president of Hockey Operations, joining us here in the Hot Stove Lounge as the hiring has been made. Brad Treliving is the new general manager of the Calgary Flames.